Well, good morning. How are we this morning? We're good? Cold. Someone said cold. Okay. Well, friends, I want to firstly say thank you for the great joy and privilege to come and join you this Sunday morning for your service. I don't want to take it lightly. I bring greetings from two people, my family, my immediate family, my wife and my three kids who weren't able to make it today. They're going to go to Canterbury Gardens, and I bring greetings from our church family, Canterbury Gardens Community Church. One of the things that we do as in leadership and eldership at our church is we're committed to help us growing and being less insular and more outward. And one of the ways that we do that is we pray through the directory that names all the churches that are within our church denomination or even our neighborhood churches. So we have prayed for Wattle Park, and we do bring Wattle Park before the Lord. So now this morning, what I want us to consider is this. I want us to consider this big idea. Who do you and I listen to? Another way to put it is probably a bit more on a, hopefully on a deeper level, is to ask the question, the very ears of our very heart and soul, who do you and I listen to? What captures our attention? With that in mind, would you join with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we ask right now, whoever we are, whether we're someone who's been following you for many years, whether if we're someone who feeling a bit apathetic in our relationship with you in this season, or whether we are trying to discover who you are, would you continue to minister to us through your word? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would change hearts through the word. And I pray, Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, not because of my namesake, but for your glory alone, Lord Jesus. And I pray, as you taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done for your glory alone. Amen. Now, I'm not sure what you're like when it comes to listening and hearing. If you talk to my beautiful wife, Beck, she tells me I have selective hearing, and she's correct. And I think I inherited that from my mum in that. So when I go to my parents' place now and we're there together and I'll talk to my mum about various things, and my mum often says things like this, "What did you say? I didn't hear you. What was that?" I'm like, "Oh, okay, mum might be needing to, you know, have that conversation with her as she gets older," which I'm not looking forward to. But then what happens is very interesting. I'll be talking to my wife in the kitchen and my mum will be down the hallway and I'll say to my wife, I'll say, "Look, I really don't think before we go we should give them any chocolate or dessert or anything like that." And from the down the hallway, I hear my mum say, no, they're going to have some chocolate before they go. It's like selective hearing. Now, that's a very, very silly illustration, right? Like us pastors do often. But when you and I wake up, the very moment that we wake up, you and I are invited to listen to many things. Another way I put it in our church is that you and I are being preached to constantly, sermons all the time. That moment when you and I grab our phone and see what's going on in the world. The very calendar that's in front of you, whether it's school or grades or various things that might be calling out to you, say, listen. You might listen to your favorite talkback radio station. You may listen to the latest COVID updates, what the figures are, the latest sports scores, particularly people like me who follow Hawthorn, which is a sad time at the moment. Save. Or when you come to that moment when you have little ones who come into your room and they want to grab your attention like my son did this morning, or the very to-do list that you have to face every day. Now, that's not bad, right? That's life. The question is, for you and I, what happens inside our hearts when those things call out to us to say, listen, listen to me? The passage before us, the question is asked, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him? They listen to him. Now, this very idea of listening is nothing new. In the very passage that's in front of us, Jesus has been on a boat for a while, teaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God. At the very start of this chapter, you can see that in chapter 4, the crowds are listening. And he begins with this word. So if you have a Bible with me, have a look with me again in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9. Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, and where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The question is being asked by Jesus and asking the disciples, if you're going to listen, listen up. This is very important. And it's actually contrast already in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, it's showing who is not going to listen. Particularly the religious leaders of the time, they're going to not listen to Jesus. And the verses in front of us, just before we get to the calming of the storm, Jesus is speaking in parables. Now, if you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard about what parables are about. Jesus constantly teaches in this kind of language to those who are outside besides his disciples. There's this parallel going on. He talks language like the kingdom of God. What the kingdom of God, this is like this. And what it does is, for those who are opponents to that, it's almost like there's a veil. They can't hear what it really means. But for those who are seeking, there's a reward to it. And there's an invitation. You come and you pull in to listen to what Jesus has to say, or you push out, as theologian and author Paul Carter puts it. So what's happening now is Jesus is revealing who he is. It's starting to become very clear who will respond to him. And actually those who ought to hear, who ought to understand, are not listening to his voice. And the very parable explains the sower and reveals this contrast. It sets the actual tone for the whole passage that's in front of you. There are those who hear and those who will accept it, and they will bear fruit. And there are those, in a sense, will listen to many other things. They will listen to Satan and temptation. They will listen to the pressure of tribulation, and that's trial and persecution. They will listen to the cares of the world, to the deceit of riches, and they will not bear fruit. Friends, I love the way Jesus speaks, because what he does is he's really revealing the reality of all of us. The reality of all of us humans. You know, your heart and my heart are prone to listen to many voices rather than the voice that matters the most. We listen to those voices that call out to us, "Come, be tempted." We listen to those voices that say, "Look, following Jesus is way too hard." We listen to those voices that say, "Why don't you set yourself up for a secure future, for that financial security?" And the question begs now for you and for me even today, just as it did then, whose voice are you and I listening to? And Jesus makes this amazing statement, and it's throughout the Gospels, "He who has a ear, let him hear." Now, the very language of that is very strong. Jesus is saying, you better listen. Listen carefully. And the very parable that he explains and goes to the disciples in detail what it means, what we see what happens for those who will listen to his voice. But it also shows that the revelation or that truth that Jesus speaks of, it's actually, the response is also a gift. There's an act of faith connected to that. And you see that, right? In the very chapter there, it says in verse 11, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." The only reason why the disciples can understand and even get to hear the real meaning of these parables is God's gracious gift through Christ. And the gift is the very word of God, the good news. And this very good news is not meant to be hidden away. It's not meant to be like this secret message just to be held. It's to be declared and shown and sown. And you see that in verses 21 to 25. And the very gift is that when there's response, it actually bears fruit. The very work is God himself at work. Yes, there is an act of faith for the worker proclaiming, but it's the Lord himself who provides. The Lord himself who provides the harvest. And this is God's word, and there's response to it. Not only does it produce fruit in the life of a believer, but there's this beautiful, glorious invitation then to go and share this good news and to draw others into the kingdom, to proclaim this and to come and make their home in the kingdom that is to come. And you see that in verses 30 to 33. There's a beautiful picture of a tree to come and shelter under it. There's faith, and God invites them to go and tell, and he produces the fruit. But because it's his word, it will always produce fruit. Now, this is all happening, right? This is the background, this is the foundation. And Jesus has been ministering for a very long time on a boat. That would have been amazing to see. And now he says, let's go. Let's set sail. And Jesus is the one who says, let's go. And we'll see later on in verse 35 onwards the reason why. I would encourage you to read the reason why he went across there. Earlier on, Jesus has been revealing already a few things. He's been revealing who he is. He's been revealing his authority to call his disciples. He's been showing his authority over sickness. He's been interacting with the religious leaders and showing his authority that he has to be able to teach. And now, there's this powerful, beautiful moment where he shows his authority over creation itself. And if you're familiar with the story, you might have already heard this, right? The storm comes. And if you know this, I've never been to Sea of Galilee. Has anyone been there before, by the way? Just out of curiosity. Oh, a couple of you. Great. Oh, three. Well, I've never been. Oh, four. Any more? Five? Any more takers? Six? Okay, here we go. Seven. There we go. Now, I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, but what I've been reading about it is that it's 200 meters below sea level. It is surrounded by hills. There's frequently rush of wind and the right mix of temperatures. What happens is there's like a storm that can suddenly come. And they were known to be very sudden, and they were known to be very violent. So this storm comes, and it's a violent storm. It's so strong that the very boats that they're in, all the very boats, are getting filled with water. And the very moment, though, that these fishermen... Now, I know a lot of comments have been sent about these are seasoned fishermen, they shouldn't be afraid. Well, I'm probably a bit more understanding in some sense, maybe. If I was going to die, I would probably be feeling the same thing that they are. They think they're going to die. They think the boat's going to sink. But yes, as much as they're focused on that, there's something really bothering them. Did you see that in the passage? They go out and see their master, who they're following, is asleep on the boat. And to them, it's not as much about that he's sleeping. It's like, don't you care? Do you even care that we might actually perish? We might actually die? Now, you've got to remember, right? The disciples have seen a few things. They've heard a few things. And in this midst of storm, they think they're going to die. They're overwhelmed. Another way to look at it is maybe their very heart and even their physical reaction is overwhelmed with fear. And the Bible talks about here is there's this picture of lack of faith, that they're not seeing that Jesus is in control. The one who said, let's go, is still in control. Now, I don't know about you, when I read these kind of passages, God, disciples, seriously, come on. Friends, I think we've got to be careful. You and I might do the same thing. I don't know if you've ever done this, maybe you haven't, I know I have. Lord, do you even care? Lord, do you see those figures that are going around the globe with COVID and the cases and stuff? Do you even care? Well, do you know what's going on in my friend's life? Do you even care in my son's or daughter's life? Do you care? Now, we might not say it outwardly. Maybe inwardly we're thinking that. And maybe there's not necessarily a literal storm going on in your life. Maybe there's a situation or a person or a circumstance. You feel like death is right there. And maybe you're thinking in your heart, I've thought this in my own heart, Lord, do you care that we might perish? Friends, this beautiful picture of the disciples reminds us of the reality. Whatever storm or noise is calling out to us, we are also tempted to react in a way, Lord, do you care? Have you ever thought that? I have. Have you ever wondered that? I have. So Jesus wakes up and there's this moment. What a moment it would have been, right? In Mark chapter 4. And he woke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus Christ, God himself, the one whose voice has authority to cast out demons. He speaks and people are healed. He shows his authority over those who are religious and he brings through his words life. He reveals through his words of the coming kingdom. And now he commands the wind and the sea to be still and silent. And the response is not like in time, immediately. Jesus is revealing who he is, that he's God himself. And the language here to the disciples is much stronger. He says, why are you being cowards? Don't you have faith? Jesus has been explaining who he is, showing, and Jesus has been explaining and also told them what their role will be. He's explaining the stories of the seed and the mustard seed. And in effect, when they respond, he says, we are afraid, we're not convinced who you are. And he's saying, why are you being cowards? Why are you listening to this lie? And friends, you and I are still asked that question, whose voice are you and I listening to today? What happens when the various noises come into our hearts that say, listen to me, believe in me? Have you ever thought, Lord Jesus, do you really have this in hand? Let me take control of that for you. Friends, that question, who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him? Does that still capture your heart and my heart today? The thought that Jesus has authority over creation itself, or other things calling to us to say, no, they have authority. Who is this man? Well, if you're following Christ, you in a sense already know the answer. But as the Gospel of Mark continues, Jesus is now being showing who he is. In Mark 8, 27 to 30, do you remember that story when the disciples are having interaction with Jesus and Jesus asks the question, who do people say that I am? And some proclaim that you're John the Baptist who's returned. Some say you're one of the old prophets. And then he asks them this very, very poignant question, who do you say that I am? And Peter's response is, you are the Christ. And what does Jesus say? God has revealed this to you. Jesus is the Christ. He is Lord. And friends, he still calms storms today. Perhaps what you and I need to consider is, as those voices cry out to us, those many storms, whatever it might be, instead we need to focus our hearts to the voice that really matters. Whose voice who matters the most? I mean, the very disciples that we're talking about here who would have known their Bible, who would have heard the stories, most likely listened to a psalm, and particularly as sailors. They might have possibly listened to a psalm from Psalm 107, 23 to 31. If you have that, you can have a look at it. I would encourage you to do it. This is what it says. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the seas were hushed. They were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to his children of man. Dear friends, has not the Lord heard your cry and my cry? The very storm that rages in you and me, he has come to still it. He has actually hushed it. The very storm of sin and death, Christ has come and stilled it. Jesus, the Christ, the one who has authority over all, the one all of his life here on earth was perfectly committed to doing the will of the Father's. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. The one who the Father says on that day when he was baptized, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. The one who has authority to quieten the loudest storm and the raging seas, declares against the most raging storms that you and I have ever faced in sin and death, and he declares on the cross, it is finished. And this means, if you have put his faith in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Therefore, this means, friends, today, the question for you and I is still true today, who are you and I listening to? Are we paying attention to the one whose still voice has the power and authority over everything in this world, and the very words that will bring life, the promises? And the invitation to you and I still today is respond in faith. Now, I don't want to assume who you are, because I don't know all of you here. Perhaps you've been coming to Wattle Park for many years. Maybe you've grown up in Christian circles. You know all the answers. You maybe have gone to Christian school. You may even know his voice. You may even know the highlight verses. But have you and I ever truly considered who this Jesus is? Perhaps the words and the question for you and me is, who has the loudest voice in your heart and my heart? The invitation to you and I is to turn to the voice that can still the raging storm. The one who says, come to his voice, his word, receive his grace, his loving rebuke, and listen to his voice that says, peace, be still. And the very story in front of us as an invitation is, will you listen to him? And for those of us who believe in this Jesus, whose voice are you and I still hearing every day from Monday to Saturday? Are we listening to Jesus, whose voice stills the storm that is of sin and death? Are they still calling us, cling to me, to find our hope and joy in? And there are those of us who have been following Jesus for many years, and you are weary. You are weary. Dear friend, Jesus still cares. He cares for your weary heart. The invitation maybe is to come and look at him again and listen to his true word and yearn for that beautiful day when we will really hear his voice again, when he says he's making all things new. And by his grace, may we hear also, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Psalm 107:43, it says, whoever is wise, let him attend or listen to these things. Let him consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Friends, Jesus is that beautiful, glorious display of God's steadfast love that is still there today. And his voice calls out to you and I to obey him in faith and by his Spirit to live for him in this world as we listen to him alone. Would you join with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we come before you and I pray by your grace and truth. I pray for my brothers and sisters here at Wattle Park. I pray for those who are exploring who you are, that you reveal more of yourself to us. For those of us who know you, encourage us to listen to your voice every day. And I pray for your blessing over this church, Lord. I pray for much fruit of the gospel in the lives of the saints here and in the lives of those who are exploring. Jesus, may we be known to be a community that listens to you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.